Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pod Shambles. I'm Laurie, and here, this over here is Paddy.
Hi.
We thought we'd do a much more sedate intro to the show, because it's frankly been a bit ridiculous recently, hasn't it, Paddy?
It's gotten silly.
We've gotten complaints, if anything.
There are many complaints. Ofcom.
Yeah. Ofcom. Ofsted.
Ofsted. Oxted.
Oxted, yeah. Oxbow Lake. They were ravenously disgusted.
Ted Bundy.
No.
Bunder.
Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
So, in that respect, we think we'll just, you know, we'll leave it like this.
We're going to do a... I've just got it!
What?
I've just worked. I've been trying to work it out.
What, mate?
I've been trying
for the show. We've got to, we were about to
wrap
it up.
Mate,
it's going to be fine.
Get this.
Oh,
get this.
I know.
Right? No, no, hang on. Flow Rider.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah, that's the point
of
his name.
It's Florida.
Yeah, that's the point of his name.
Oh my Christ. No, cuz I was I thought it was just because he rode flows.
Well, that's why it works. Are you seriously joking?
Is
you've only just worked that
is
out.
Is he Floridian?
I don't... That's
Florin?
Not a word. Florid.
Florin.
He's very Florid.
He's Flo Rider. He's Florida.
Oh, do fuck off.
No, seriously.
Yeah, like we've done some poor intros. We've done some poor
genuinely
intros. And this takes the shambles biscuit.
No, I think this is great. This is prime... Prime cut beef.
This is only a shambles.
Agree on that?
Oh my God!
Pod Shambles.
Pod Shambles.
Nice.
Yeah, you are ready.
Can you get ready?
Get ready for me.
Can you get on?
Are you ready for this?
Beyonce.
Hi, Beyonce. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Beyonce.
Hi, Beyonce Knowles.
Hi. Have you got any questions? Because I've got all the answers.
This is a ropey start.
This is.
Have you even done the Beyonce on? Beyonce?
Yeah,
before?
Oh yeah, we did
Beyonce
done this with Solange
Knowles,
who I still haven't Googled. I don't know.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's Paddy and Laurie coming live.
Live from New York City.
We're definitely at home.
We're in London. We're back home after a sort of interval.
Yeah, we've had a bit of an interval. Winterval.
Yeah, it's not a long interval.
Well, you went to Edinburgh. That was quite a long interval.
Well, yes, but we pre-prepared. That's why we managed to release an episode.
We pre-prepared. And then when you got back, we're like, great, nothing for a month. That's great. Don't have to do anything.
Can you be paired?
Paired?
Well, you know, if you're pre-paired.
No.
Can you be post-paired?
No.
Post-paired. Come on, pair me.
No. I think because it's a word in itself, the pre bit's misleading. Getting straight into the
English. Oh, so it's not... No, hang on. You're the English person, is
yeah,
that? So it's
preparo
not...
is Latin, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but wouldn't the pre still be something that was added
no, that's
on
what I'm
to
saying.
Paro?
It's false. It's false, I think.
Oh, okay.
Text in if we think you're wrong.
Text in on
very
on 87108.
Well, yeah, we have had because you did Edinburgh, and then I was here, and I then when you got back from you know crying,
sounds like you had a really sad
crying
time.
Into my bit. I did because I was doing my last week of full time work, which
yes.
was sad because I was looking forward to finishing it, and also sad because I felt all of life's richness passing away from me, and I had a vision every time day it got close,
suckled out like a pig.
You coming home? I was like, it was literally you. The vision of my future was physically and metaphorically walking closer to me day by day, until finally, triumphantly, you showed up.
Do you imagine
with a bag full of onions and nothing else to show for
you? Do you
your
imagine
time
that
Edinburgh?
The 30 days I spent in Edinburgh was all spent walking back?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Day by day, I did
you
about
go, the Edinburgh
11 miles
like,
a day.
It's a one-day thing.
Yeah,
and then you always get lost on the way home.
It's one
that's how
massive
it goes.
Event. No, yeah. I was away. I was away for a number of years. And now I've returned. A number of. Jesus Christ.
Mate,
I was away for a number of weeks.
It's important.
I'm a bit drunk.
Paddy's been to the pub and came back and was like, it'll be fine. I'm like that fun drunk, which means I'll be really talkative.
Yeah, I am.
And you spent so long talking to people you didn't know.
I worked out that flow rider thing, didn't I?
Yeah,
that
you did.
Sober person couldn't have done that.
No, that's what's called a.
Requires the leap of a drunk.
But
my
you
friend.
See, when people have a moment of clarity like that, they do that and then they realise how drunk they are and then they'll mend their ways. You resolve to find out even more. Like,
can I say, by the way, when I worked that as well, I wanted to drop my mug, because you know when people have that moment where they're
emphasize.
Like, oh my god, and then the mug falls, right?
Yeah, but then it usually smashes.
But I, yeah, and also I really like this mug.
And it's got tea in it.
Yeah, and I thought I might spill tea on you, and then you wouldn't listen to them what I had to say.
No, because I'd be burning from
which
tea.
Which was pretty insightful. That Florida thing, Flow Rider Florida.
I think everyone got that the first time they
heard it. I bet you there are people who didn't get that, who listened to this and went, Jesus Christ,
okay,
they're probably
okay.
The drunk ones.
Okay, if anyone... When they heard that intro to the show,
yeah.
It was the first time they'd ever made that connection.
Yeah.
Right into Podchef. And you have to have heard of Flow Rider before. You can't be like... You can't,
oh, that's just, a word split in half. That's
yeah,
fun.
No, you can't be like... You can't have like never heard of Flow Rider and then within that sentence have heard you mention him for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't count. If you knew who Flow Rider was,
yeah, okay,
and you,
no,
and,
I'm with
and
you.
And Paddy's little outburst,
yeah.
Meant that you now know who he is. So, write it. I'll give you a fiver, listener.
Bollocks, because they can.
What do you mean,
no,
bollocks?
No, not bollocks. Because they could now lie.
Oh no!
And also,
will.
Half people are team Pads. We know this, right? Half people are team Lars.
I think
you'll find
the last sentence. We beat out all the team Pads.
No, because Flow Rider. I think it's a jump you have to make. Will I am? It's obvious, right?
Oh yeah, no, because why? Is that obvious? Will I am at least is like not grammatically okay on its own.
Well, yeah, but it's still William with full stops in it,
Jesus,
isn't it? Everyone sees that
no.
On a page. Also, Flow Rider, if he was quite literally riding flows, there'd be a W in it.
Yeah.
But there isn't.
Yeah.
That's how I worked it
if
out.
Will I
see?
Am, if Will I am was semi literate, his name would be I Am Will.
Yeah, but then you'd be... Yeah, but that could, but that would be shit, right? It's like...
So's Flow Rider!
Yeah, exactly. I'm not denying that it's shit.
So would also... Also, Rider would not be R-I-D-A, would it?
Oh, yeah, that's the second part. He'd be Flow Rider,
yeah.
R-I-D-E-R.
Yeah.
Which would be... But that's the thing. And I noticed, right? Because I was like, hang on. Why hasn't he spelt it Flow Rider?
This made me so angry.
Yeah, no, and it should, right? Because it should make everyone angry. But no, I think, yeah, give him a fiver. You'll be down £10.
Just these £10 for all two routine pounds.
Do I get a cut?
No.
I worked it out.
You didn't work it out after everyone else. That's not quite
can
right.
You imagine?
It's like there's people. You
if
know, when
Flow
someone...
Rider now gets in touch and is like, "Oh
my
god,
I never thought of it that way."
I give you a fiver if he does that. All right, if you're Flow Rider,
yeah, okay,
message
Flow
in
Rider.
And I'll give Laurie a fiver.
Great, well,
right?
Quids in.
If you're not, Laurie gives you a fiver.
Which is not anyone who texts me.
In what context do you give me a fiver then?
None at all.
Well, that's bollocks.
You
this isn't
deserve.
A good. Rule.
Why? Why? You don't deserve reward for getting something years after everyone else got it.
I spend a lot of my time working
on like
these
kind
of things.
You're like
out.
One of those people like,
yeah.
In the pub.
Like a detective?
Goes, no, who suddenly goes like, oh my god, what if we had a machine
yeah.
That just heated up all the water inside our food
yeah.
Without using heat, but using like special...
Like a microwave.
Invisible electric waves. Everyone's like, yeah, a microwave. They got invented in the 1950s. And like, yeah, but I still thought of it. I still came up with it on my own. I was like, no... You just forgot that they existed.
Oh, but I'm not saying I invented Flow Rider.
No, but
if I was the brains behind Flow
I'm
Rider,
saying I'm saying your brain power displayed by that is not something to be admired.
I don't know what apple bottom jeans are.
Apple bottom jeans are out of jeans with big with apple bottoms.
That is the like
no, they're jeans with a large bum that is very tightly and attractively packed into the top, thereby
like
resembling an apple,
a shape of
thus
an apple.
Giving them an apple bottom.
Okay, that's where the apple bottom jeans.
Yeah.
You see, so if Flow Rider is writing on that level, if that's his, you know, mecca,
yeah, what,
is apple bottom jeans.
Absolutely elementary.
Yeah, like level 2 sats is where he writes at. Then I don't think he's made the Flow Rider connection. I think it's a masterstroke. I think about this kind of stuff a lot because I'm very self-employed. I'm critically self-employed.
And I've joined that world now.
And you've now joined that
world.
And
I refuse to be drawn in this far.
Oh, mate, you will. Give it a month, no. Right? We'll be doing Pod Shambles 47 or whatever the fuck it'll be by then. And you'll be like, oh my God, I've just realised. Bicycles, right? It's because it's cycle there are two of them.
And they get off with other bikes.
And I'll go, what about tricycles? And you'll go, holy shit, and then we'll talk about triceratops.
No, we won't.
Yeah, we will.
No, because I know that
No,
already.
Because, but that's the kind of mind frame you're going to get into. No, you're not an idiot. That, critically, you're not an idiot. That's why. You're going to, an idiot. Yeah, hey, whatever, man.
All I mean, mate, is if you're trying to argue that you're not a bit silly for not knowing that, then yeah. I've got no answer for you. You can't claim self-employed.
Have you not ever made that connection? Has there not even been something that you have just massively misunderstood?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, like, and when you make that
but
connection...
But it wasn't Flo Rida's
yeah,
name!
Yeah, you're still going to be pleased about that. In the immediacy, you're gonna
yeah,
go, yeah,
no, but
no,
that's
hang
not,
on,
that's
I've worked
not
that
my,
out.
That's not my point, Pads. My point is, also, I love that we had, like, a big bit planned out for this beginning, and we got so fucking bogged down in Flo Rida.
Well, so we also had an intro planned, and I fucked that up, didn't I? Get on board,
like,
mate.
It's just that fact I find repulsive that you didn't get. Like, that, I mean, yeah, sure, there are lots of things I don't know, and I suddenly go, oh my God, that is now so
simple. I suddenly
simple.
Made that connection,
but
right?
Flo Rida,
yeah.
Like, the first time you even think, you go, like, how would that be written down? Oh, it probably would spell Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, I've never thought, how would
okay,
that be written
down? I mean,
down
I guess
I'm
until... going to concede. I'm glad you didn't think about Flo Rida a lot. Until
yeah, that's it. It's quite a new thing. And I'm pretty sure that Flo Rida was big like quite a while ago as well. So the fact that I'm catching like, up now...
He's like this generation's Sean Paul, I believe.
Oh, he is. Sean Paul. What songs did Sean Paul do?
He just did every song he ever did. He just goes, yeah, yeah, okay!
Name that's a Sean Paul that's, number, because I genuinely don't...
Is that not Sean Paul? I don't think that's Sean
I
Paul.
I just know it's Jean Paul. Shanabal. That's a joke.
Who's
that was definitely
that
made in someone's comedy
maybe
special.
Maybe Sean Paul's the reggae guy. Oh my God, this is terrible.
What about Usher?
Usher, what about him?
What did he do?
He did loads of songs. He's huge.
Yeah, I know, like he's, yeah I know he's big, ever. But I only read... And Ludacris as well. Another person, right?
Ludacris is so different
but
from
these,
Usher.
No, but these are things that I learn about from TV, where someone will make a joke. It's like, what? Maybe that's
Ludacris
what made me think about
rapper.
Flo Rida. The first episode of Atlanta.
Oh yeah, that was excellent. Well,
that's an by the way, watch Atlanta. That is absolutely
I watched
brilliant.
A really excellent. And you're right. Yeah, he gets a shout out, and he's really.
And
cool
I was
in
like,
that.
Oh fuck! I swear I recognise that name from somewhere. Same way that in Parks and Rec.
Oh yeah, Florida.
When he talks
the state.
Who's the guy? who's the guy that he always talks about in Parks and Rec? That's like his absolute everything.
Oh, I can't remember.
It might be Sean Paul.
It's not Kanye West. Is it?
No, it's not Kanye. I think it might be Ludacris. Or no, he's definitely got two names. He writes about it in Modern Romance. Aziz
right,
Ansari,
okay.
That is.
I don't really know, man. I'm sorry, I can't remember that. But you're reading Royal Romance at the moment. I was just going to say about Don Glover.
Yeah.
Or Don Glover,
yeah.
As he's called.
As he's actually named.
I watched a really great video today about how he is one of the true... The few true artists, this guy's arguing. I think it's a bit of a wanky point to make.
Okay.
But saying how it's amazing that he's created... Like, because, you know, if you don't know Don Glover, where the hell have you been? But he's in... I first saw him in Community. That's the first thing I saw him. But he was a stand-up
yeah.
as well, was what I...
Yeah.
And then I realised I'd seen him do this thing called Derek Comedy, which is a sketch show he did when he was at college on YouTube.
Okay.
One of the first big YouTube things. And I made Ollie's really into him and got you know, taught me a lot. But he has so many channels, and he has... Like, he's a rapper. He's an amazing rapper called
yeah.
Childish Gambino as well.
Yeah.
And he makes movies under Childish Gambino that are kind of about characters in songs.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta Now, which is this new kind of dramatic comedy
it's
thing.
It's fucking
so
beautiful.
Good. But this guy was saying, like, he has all these personas that go across them all, and, like, he's really mysterious about it, and he doesn't call himself an X, a Y, or a Z. He just is a guy
he's
who
just
makes...
a force. Like,
yeah, and that makes him so much more than he... There's a quote from him saying, like, if you label yourself an X and a Y, that just kills you. It makes you one thing. If you say, I'm a writer...
Yeah,
like,
it ties
like,
you into
yeah,
being a writer.
That's really interesting.
Do you agree with that?
Not on just being a writer. No, you can be a writer not being anything else. I think when you're in his position and you're like, he was referencing people like Kanye who do stuff beyond just being a musician,
right?
But who's a good example? Like Ice Cube is an actor as well as like a
Method
a,
Man.
Yeah, Method Man. Although Method Man now is an actor, I
right.
think, where he was a musician. And if you draw too many boundaries between what you're doing, it's limiting and weird. Whereas
Hugh Laurie,
yeah, maybe.
Well, he was a comic, then he was
never...
an actor, and then he was a musician, and he's sort of all of them.
I don't think
the
he's the same kind of like auteur though, Hugh Laurie.
I don't know. Maybe that's a really, really good point to make though. It's like, I don't know. I think I'd probably immediately jump to calling myself a comedian as a thing. I think when people ask me what I do...
But that's not limiting, because that does encapsulate everything you do.
That's the thing. If you're a, especially nowadays, if you're a comic, it's like you could be, oh, I'm in sitcoms, or
whereas
I'm a writer,
I call
or
myself,
I'm on radio, or I'm on... Blah, blah, blah,
if I call myself a writer, that is actually a bit... That does...
Well, yeah, but surely a writer, you could be an author, or you could write for TV, or you could... You
yeah,
could...
no, not that. Not being like, oh, you're only a writer, but just like it doesn't do justice to you. And if you keep calling yourself a writer, then what does that mean about your other stuff? Does that mean that you don't consider that part of you?
That's what I worry about with saying comedian as well. Like, because
you've never written anything serious in your life.
I've written some things. No, but I'd like to believe that I could, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, but I think it's also no disparagement here. But I think it's more of an issue when you're really successful at multiple things.
Yeah, I suppose that's very true.
Which you will be one day. You will be one day. Once we've gone on this merry freelance adventure together.
Yes, let's get back to the merry freelance adventure. Sorry, that was what I was originally going to say. How are you finding self-employed life?
Well, it's okay. It's hey like you. It's like being employed, but I get up later and I can take longer shits.
Yeah, that's pretty
great.
Fun.
Yeah, right.
But didn't you already
take hugely long shits
no,
at work?
But also, no. Yes. I think this is one of those slightly skewed things that I have about the idea of working in an office, probably from television.
Right.
Is that you going to the bathroom in any capacity, Mr. Yes. Havelock, you might take slightly longer than usual to avoid being in that stuffy room with your computer.
Okay, you might do, but also, like, when you go for a shit, like, not that I'm constantly looking at everyone,
yeah,
but you think that everyone knows you're going for a shit.
Yeah.
So the comfort of 5 more minutes playing Hearthstone,
yeah,
you know, while your legs go numb,
yeah,
is quickly offset by the imagined social awkwardness
of coming back.
Of coming back, and people will be like, well, that was a long shit, Laurie.
Why don't whenever you do it, I mean, I guess you don't have to worry about this anymore. You can come back, but always, like you know when you wash your hands, you can instead, like, run it through your hair, right? Carry a towel at all times, and whenever you come back into the office, just give it the old, like, as if you're drying your hair.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And
what
be
you're
like,
getting
yeah,
at.
I've just been for a little bath.
Why would they think that was less weird? I think it would be a lot weirder, and in fact a lot more noteworthy, if someone came back into the office and had apparently had a bath.
I think that'd be fun,
day.
Though.
Well, you clearly have not worked in an office.
Well, no. I mean, that's true.
Do you know, it's so much better, but I've actually weirdly ended up doing a lot of my old work still. But just on a when I want to, which is nice. I feel like it may all disappear soon, but it's great. I mean, I'm looking forward. So we've been doing some writing together,
yeah.
All of which will become more clear in the future. But that's been really fun.
Is there like an embargo?
Well, I don't want to talk about it too much. No,
no, because it's quite exciting, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Also, I don't want to give it all away.
That's the thing.
We're writing a thing. That's all you're going to know.
We're writing
it might
a thing.
Happen. And because the other thing is, I've been told you shouldn't tell people if you're doing a big project like that. You shouldn't tell everyone because then if you put it out in the open, you feel a lot worse about it.
There's a lot of then outside pressure. Yeah, of course, to then come good on it.
Yeah, I even get weird about telling our friends, but I let you take the lead on that.
But I think, we were having a conversation with Stuart about this a couple of weeks ago, when it was saying, but does that outweigh, if you tell loads of people that you're going to do a thing, right?
Yeah.
This is especially prevalent on Facebook at the moment, I think. You know, with lots of people like who are like taking photos themselves, or either trying to lose weight or do something or achieve
yeah.
something. And they're like, if I tell loads of people on Facebook or XYZ, then that then gives me the pressure for me to actually come good on it.
If that's your reason for doing something, then it's a bad reason for doing it, though, I would argue.
Yeah.
If you're losing weight so that people on Facebook will be proud of you, I mean, great, sure, lose weight.
Oh, but yeah, like, but I think they're arguing that it's not so that they'll be proud, but
yeah,
it's
but
like
if that's
once
the only,
you've got the expectation.
If that's the only difference between you doing it and not, it would suggest
yeah,
that
then
that
it's just
is
quite flimsy anyway.
That's what I mean. That's all I mean. And I don't think there's a lot of... I think it's more when you... It's like when you had essays, we were always told not to tell them, not to talk about, and you always do at uni, but not to tell each other how much you've done and how much you want to do, because people work in different ways.
Yeah.
And you can kind of jump to judgments about how someone works. Because if, you know, if I was like, we've been working on this thing for almost a month, longer really, but a month of, you know, actually sitting down and talking about
it,
and people are like, well, how much have you done? I was like, well, like 2 scenes.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to trash half of those.
Yeah, exactly.
People are going to be like, well,
you've done nothing.
What the fuck is that? Yeah.
And it's like, but actually, yeah, but yeah, I mean, it takes an
basically,
awful long time to make anything like this work.
Fuck all the fuck haters.
See, and this, I think, ties it back into Flow Rider, right? Because, no, think about it.
No, I never want to tie anything
No, because Flow Rider, do you reckon he told people? Do you reckon he was like, you know, Florida, right? I've got this idea. And do you think that was a big selling point? And then once people knew he was going to be Flow Rider, they started being like, oh, well, you best start writing about them trousers.
What trousers?
The apple bottom jeans, like. What are the trousers? He's Flow Rider.
Don't know what else. No one at that point went, stop writing about the trousers, Flow Rider.
Come on, Flow Rider. I imagine that all of his
his friends are like, Flo, I don't...
Flo, Mr. Rider, sir.
Mr. Rider.
I really expected better of you and your riding the Flo. And he's just, but it appears the Flo has gotten the better of you.
Yeah.
It appears like you are a Flo passenger. It's a Flo rider no more.
I like that.
Oh,
I'm a real
nice.
Big fan of that. I can't remember what we were talking about.
No, but I think as long as we... As well,
that's
it. Rest assured,
we're both self-employed.
It's,
and it's,
fine.
It's fine.
And it means we get to record this at midnight, and it's instead of it being, oh God, I've got to go up to work tomorrow, it's, let's stretch this out for as long as possible.
That is a bit of a pleasure,
except
isn't
I do
it?
Want to go to bed, so let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up. I mean, yeah.
I've just bought a brand new pangolin. He's really good at doing impressions. Listen to him do an impression of a pangolin. That's probably what they sound like. Pangolins.
It's too powerful. Oh, so hello. We've got another section now. So listen,
okay,
we've got.
I'm keeping the tab closed.
I've got to see that. So we got a message.
Yeah.
From a shambler called Jake O'Khan.
Yeah.
Who's actually one of my weirdly oldest mates who goes way back, and my our mums know each other. Show me the message. I've got to read out the nice
okay,
message.
Okay, I will
got.
Read out the message.
It's on that tab. There we go. So Jake O said, "Hey guys, love you and the ground you walk on, and please bless me and all your." And it doesn't say that.
I'm
it doesn't say that either.
How old is
but
he?
It does say he's our age. It's fine. Okay. He's very legal. Thought you'd want to know that there's a seventh installment of the Little Witchwood Mysteries. He says, having just listened to episode 21, brackets the Five Bears, I think the title and cover are her best yet. I'll leave the surprise to you.
First correction, Little Witchwell.
Oh,
Mysteries.
Sorry.
You said Witchwood. Understandably.
Oh,
understandably,
well,
Laurie.
Well.
Second correction, yes, it is the best cover yet.
Paddy, do you want to, as if you were describing a fine work of art, so if you haven't listened to this episode, it's episode 21 we talked about this, but this is a wonderful writer whose name is Stella Stafford. And she's done a series of detective novels set in Oxford featuring Barnabas the dog and a detective.
Oh my god, don't even.
I can't remember.
She's a fucking visionary.
Like, yeah, she's like literally, there's going to be a cult set up.
Yeah,
about this,
I mean, if you've heard the previous episode, a lot of people thought we were taking the piss. No.
No.
This woman gets it. This is, like, genuine.
Leave the audience their own conclusions,
okay,
right?
Okay, right.
Just like you were describing a fine piece of art, take us through the title and maybe describe the cover to
okay,
me.
Should we do it as if I pick the book up and should I describe the cover first and
yeah,
then
yeah,
turn
yeah,
it
absolutely.
Over as if
exactly,
I'm reading the book?
Exactly.
Okay,
all right. So, Paddy, you've just walked into a nice bookshop. You've seen this on the show. It's cool.
Yeah.
Caught your eye. What's the title of that book?
It's called A Walrus in Oxford.
A Walrus in Oxford.
And now.
And what? And
now,
what's on the cover?
Now, Laurie, let me tell you this. Now, the cover, it's sort of alleyway by the side of a museum in Oxford, right? Is that, am I right in that? Do you think
I think it's the back of the Ashmolean or something.
It might be the back
yeah.
of the Ashmolean. And it's, let's be honest, quite a bad photo.
Yeah.
But that's fine, because it's
pretty
a book.
Dark.
It's not a photograph, it's a book. A Walrus in Oxford in big red letters that are in a slightly lower resolution than maybe they should be. Let's just be honest. And there is a nice little pixel art drawing of a walrus.
Oh, no, hang on, but I don't think that is a pixel art drawing. That looks like it actually is a hand pencil
it is,
drawing.
It is a hand pencil drawing
that has
I can
been
see where it's been cut out.
Roughly in Photoshop.
And glued onto, and then in Times New Roman next to it, the name of the author, Stella Stafford. And this walrus, he looks quite incongruous with
yeah.
the rest of the image. It's very much a copy and paste job, and I admire Stella's audacity in that, because you know what?
That's a woman after her own heart, Pat.
Exactly. She
You're
hasn't,
a big copy and paste.
She hasn't splashed out on a big cover, why
no.
would she? Yes, so a walrus.
Let the content speak for itself.
A walrus in Oxford. I'm just going to turn
flip
this
it over, Paddy. What have you got on the back?
The seventh Little Witchwell Mystery.
Oh, yeah.
A Walrus in Oxford was published in February 2015.
Oh, well, we don't need to know this bit, Paddy.
No,
the audience aren't going to be enticed by it.
But, Laurie, it is available on Kindle and paperback, okay. So get on that.
Do you get it at stellas-home.co.uk?
Stellas-home.co.uk. Right. Walls.
Nice.
Capitalised, now it's a name. Who is now a don at King's.
Yeah.
Is seeing strange things in both his apartment and his college room.
Sorry, Walls, he was the name of the detective from previous instalments. Do you not remember?
Oh, no, I don't
he
remember.
He is, yeah.
Oh, okay, Walls, okay, he's seeing strange things
in
both his apartment and his... Okay. Is something sinister really occurring? Or has he just been devoting too much time to academic study and gone a little mad?
Sure.
Yeah. Why has the walrus... One of the college contemporaries of Barnabas and Walls.
Oh, it's a nickname.
Reappeared.
It's a nickname.
In Oxford. Is this just coincidence? Barnabas, Walls' best friend, and also an indefatigable.
Indefatigable.
I've never
indefatigable.
Heard
indefatigable. Untirable.
Oh, nice.
It, I know it features in a Monty Python film. And also, the Knights of the Round Table, they're Indefatigable.
Oh, also an Indefatigable mystery investigator springs in to help uncover the truth.
Not
the
a dog.
Now, there's a caveat that she's added. The author would like to emphasise that the events described in this book are entirely fictional. Just in case you were worried about this little picture-craft walrus who's in there. And as are the characters, although the places often exist, with the exceptions of the village of Little Witchwell itself, you know, the main fucking place,
yeah.
And King's and Coromandel Colleges, which do not exist as part of the University of Oxford.
But she wishes they did.
She wishes they did, and maybe with good reason.
Man, we've got to get a copy. I think that's the next stage of this. We have to get ourselves a copy.
I think we need to read it, because actually, I was going to buy the entire back catalogue and read through...
£80 each.
Yeah, exactly.
To make up for the
very expensive
dwindling sales after our savaging of
after
the
our attack podcast. That we launched.
I'm really sorry, Stella, if we've had any impact.
No,
on
I just think that she.
Hopefully, we've bruised
Scales
up a bit. She's
got it so right. This is all that you need. Like, remember, like all that glisters is not silver. Like, you know, walking where the willows whisper. That was a favourite.
Did anyone die?
Did anyone die?
Listen, if anyone has had the good fortune of getting a copy of this, write in. Tell us. We need to know about what happens in this book. Otherwise...
What do you think happens in the book?
What do I think happens in the book?
Okay, no, you're not allowed to read anymore. We're not going to read the synopsis, because no synopsis exists. Why would it?
So I think, you know, it starts off being a tale about, Walls, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Walls and Barnabas.
Walls and Barnabas. Walls is, you know, he thinks it is just something catching up with him.
Yeah.
And then he starts seeing, like in... Ally McBeal, when she sees the little baby that dances to Ooka Chaka.
I have no idea.
Have you not seen Ally McBeal? It's like one of the most...
I know the name Ally McBeal,
it's a show about a lawyer, a female lawyer, being sassy in America. Oh, she's blonde, but she's got problems.
I'm thinking of Alistair McGowan.
No,
that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, different.
Yes. No, Ally McBeal. I just told you. Yeah, the song.
the song explains it.
And there's a really famous episode where it's really good. She kind of loses it a bit and
right.
is really stressed from work, I think. And I think there's something else happening. And she keeps hallucinating this little CGI baby who crawls into the room. Well, no, far less morbid than that. Like, it's quite a cute little CGI baby.
Right.
Who then stands up in a nappy and then dances to the Ooga Chaka, Ooga, Ooga, Ooga.
Oh, the good times.
I can't stop this feeling.
Oh, amazing.
And it's like meant to. Anyway, that's basically that. But a walrus.
Right.
And instead of dancing to Ooga Chaka, it's dancing to the theme tune from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Has he got a hat?
Whoopsie. And he comes in and he really slowly slides across the floor. Like,
oh, so it's the music playing for like 6 or 7 minutes
and he's leaving like a trail of like sweat and seawater and like fish guts behind him.
Right,
really horrible. And he's wheezing.
Way louder
and then
than
comes
the music.
In, yeah, and comes in the middle of the room and tells Walls to start killing again.
Right.
And the novel is a...
psychological... Walls has been killing.
Yeah, because this is obviously the 7th book, right?
Yeah.
It's a big one in the series to get right. You know, George R. R. Martin is currently working on 6 and 7 for Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
they're going to
exactly.
be the big guys. Are you looking up Ally McBeal dancing baby?
Ally McBeal.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. You can't watch it while I'm trying to describe
no,
it.
No, I just
something.
Want it on in the background whilst
okay.
you tell me.
That's soothing.
Yeah, it's nice. Isn't
and
it?
You know, book 7 is when the shit really hits the fan, and you've got to throw in a big twist to keep everyone entertained.
Yeah,
keep your eyes on this, but you can't put it on and then not watch.
Ooga,
this is so weird to have live.
See,
look, there's.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? If you haven't seen this, you've just gone to YouTube and put an Ally McBeal MCBEAL dancing baby. I can't believe you've not seen this.
It's
really famous. Maybe it's not as famous as I thought it was.
This is absolutely terrifying. Why is it... When was this made?
Oh, late 90s, early 1000s, something like that.
Jesus
Christ.
And then
she wakes up and there's no dancing baby.
Wow, that was 45 seconds. I'm never getting
anyway,
back.
Anyway, like that, but
sorry,
just
yeah,
so
yeah.
much more horrid. Anyway, and just goes, and he crawls in the middle of the room and he goes...
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't given me any blood recently. And he sounds like Winston Churchill melting.
Yeah.
And Walls is like, no, I have it right. Well, you better get some tasty treats for me, the walrus. And the whole time, Walls is simultaneously, it's like, you know, a real psychological thriller. He's simultaneously trying to cover up the murders he's doing because of the walrus, shit, and investigating the same case.
Shit.
And then halfway through the book, he discovers that there really is a walrus, and it's not him, but it is him.
But it's everyone else.
But it's everyone else. It's everyone else. And and you haven't. Don't skip over the ending, my friend.
Okay, I'll worry. I don't want
what
to.
What happens right in the very last third of the book is suddenly it's revealed that actually at birth, walls used to work for Wall's sausages, right?
The big guy.
That's why
he
got his name. He, you know, it's a very old story. But what no one knows in this different company, what no one knows, is that he was also responsible for the ill-fated egg division of Wall's sausages. Because obviously, you know, they come together in breakfast
sausage and egg.
Bangers and
mash.
Bangers and egg.
Yeah.
A toad in the hole.
Yeah.
Has a lot of egg and sausage in it.
Egg and soldiers.
Yeah. Egg and soldiers. Sausages.
Soldiers.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And by the end of the novel, he realizes he wasn't the walrus the whole time. He was actually all along the Eggman. And the final thing goes, I'm not the walrus, I am the Eggman.
Do-do-do-do.
And then it ends. That's the end of the book.
You know what?
I thought you'd find that funnier.
No, I'm stunned. No, because I think you've cracked it.
Like an egg.
The one thing that I thought you were going to comment on is the similarity between his name,
Walls,
and the fact that it's a walrus.
Oh yeah, that's quite good.
Now,
but I think it does differentiate as a different person, the walrus as well.
A walrus in Oxford. But if Walls is already there.
A Russian wall.
Yeah, he's in. But also, why is he in Oxford? He's not in Little Witchwell.
They're all set in Oxford.
Well, yeah, but I thought Little Witchwell was the fictional the village of Little Witch.
So
it's probably
all set
it's like
in
Cumnor.
Oxford. Yeah.
It's like Cumnor, isn't
Cumnor,
it?
Cumnor, it's like Lyme Regis.
It's the Lyme Regis of these. I was going to try and add to the story, but
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steamroll through it.
But
probably the best thing. I mean, I'm in a creative mood right now,
because
we're writing every day, and is probably the best thing I'm ever going to come up with.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the sausage and egg thing as well.
I thought you would.
But the walrus, I think there's more to that. I think Walls is... Yeah. No, I think Walls is... Is more maybe it is him.
Maybe there's only one way to find out, man.
We've
either got to read it or write our own version.
The eight little Witchwell mystery.
We could get Stella on the show.
She would not come on if she listened to any of the other episodes, mate.
Stella's still
I think
around.
We have to. Jesus, what? Because you think she's gone mad and killed herself? Do you think that's what's happened?
I think
maybe if you read them all together in a certain sequence,
it's
actually like it portends the end of the world, and she saw too much. And that ended it all too early. Like, they're too prophetic, these books.
Do you reckon Stella does, like, other things? Like we were saying earlier, with the whole, like, you can be a true artist.
Oh, yeah, no, she's got many strings to her bow.
I reckon she's got...
I mean, clearly she's a visual artist.
Yeah, exactly.
And a graphic designer.
Graphic design is just impeccable. I reckon she's got maybe, like, a polka band.
A polka band?
Yeah.
No one gigs in a polka band. No one
gigs in a polka band, Laurie. Exactly. I didn't say she was gigging.
No.
You know, she's barely...
No, she's not, is she? Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We have to say...
Like,
we do take the mick out of this thing, but it is, I mean, we did read some of it, and it's quite well written.
It is well written. And also, there are seven of them.
Yeah, she's been churning them out. I mean, it's very easy for us to sit here and take the piss from our ivory tower, pissing on everyone's parade.
You know, and
but
she's
how
done.
Many, I mean, how many mystery novels have we written, Paddy?
Very few. If not none.
If not none.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, sometimes she's pumping these out two a year sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, she only started in 2011. You know, she's like... I really don't want people to think we're ripping the shit out of this. Like,
no, I'm quite happy to let you
I know
do
that I
the,
like
the more you I, try and dig yourself out, the no, worse it gets.
I inherently have a slight problem with tone sometimes, and people assume I'm either joking or I'm not joking when I'm trying to be the other thing. And it's often when I'm like, "Hey,
and that's convenient.
I think you're great."
Because you say it like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. And what I'm trying to say is, I think you're great, and I really
as
love
if it's
you,
causing
or,
you pain.
Yeah, exactly. But I find it tough to say that because. So what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, Stella, come on, man! Like, you're cool!
Again, see?
No,
that
no,
sounds like you're going
to You know what I'm trying
mic.
To say? I'm not. Well, okay.
Yeah,
I think,
what I'm
no,
saying.
Hang on. I think Stella Stafford is. No, I'm doing it wrong already. Stella Stafford, genuinely, is. Fuck off.
You can't do this.
She's great.
You're not going to be able to do this.
No, I think. No, genuinely, Stella, if you're listening. And no, not even if you're listening. That undermines it. I think she's really good. I think she's really good, and I think we should
What's
all
she
be
good at, Paddy?
Buying the
What's she good at? Give her a genuine compliment.
Okay, rule point one.
Yeah?
Little Witchwell Mysteries, 1 through 7.
You can't say
Two. She's good at those. She asked the big questions. Did anyone die? One of them, for instance.
Is the walrus real?
Three. Unlikely characters. Mm-hmm. Photoshopped onto unlikely photographs. No,
again, and you're made, I've already done it all.
All I asked you to do was pay her a genuine compliment, and you fell apart like a wet paper bag.
I think she's fucking great.
No, that's not really a compliment, is it?
Okay,
that's like saying, oh, I think Air's really, like, you know,
she's
really good. I mean, a compliment. Pick out something you like about her.
She's finding the unexplained in the explainable, right? Fuck off.
You could literally be like, she's a good writer.
Yeah, she is.
Go for that.
I said that earlier, didn't I? Didn't I not? She's a good writer.
I'm really enjoying this.
She's a good writer. And you know what? She self-publishes, I think. Yeah. Well, at least she has done for the last...
Yeah,
for the last five books, she's self-published. I don't know what happened to Melrose books.
They went under quick. It's not her fault. She's trying her best.
It's the fault of someone else. I bet it is.
Why are you laughing?
It sounds so... Genuinely, buy the books. Fuck off. Buy the books and read them. Prove me right. Hashtag
prove Paddy wrong.
I'm a liability. I can't be near glass or flames. Liability. Don't let me hold your gun or children.
He's a liability.
I once killed a man and went to jail for ages. He's I'm a liability. I still see him in my nightmares, but iTunes doesn't mind.
No, they don't.
And Acast doesn't mind.
I really hope they don't.
And Laurie doesn't mind.
Yeah, I'd quite mind if you actually...
And our listeners don't mind.
Yeah, you should have kept that to yourself, shouldn't you?
Like my bum.
You know, the only other thing we could set up a full-time business doing right now is we've both been looking after small children quite a lot recently.
Oh, man. Babby Sats.
Oh, my God. Babby Sats. I've been looking after my little... What is it? My cousin's child. Is that second cousin or cousin once removed? Cousin twice removed. Backwards cousin.
No, I thought removed.
Double cousin.
Is it removed something to do with marriage?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you'd be removed from them.
Little
second
cousin.
Second cousin sounds right.
I think it's
no, because hang on. I think my second cousin... is my dad's cousin.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know what this is then.
Well, we shouldn't start cousin, a business in...
Well, cousin squared.
Etymology, clearly.
Anyway, he's called Kit and he's brilliant. I looked after him for a whole day.
How old is he?
Three. Turned three. Yeah, he got a big digger for his birthday. That was fun. We went to
diggers,
the
man. It's always diggers,
always diggers.
It
was my first word.
Digger?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Which was a bit suspect in North London, really, growing up where I grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have been anything.
Yeah, Jasper's got digger as well.
Yeah.
Jasper being my nephew.
Jasper's got digger.
Jasper's got digger. He's two now.
Sounds like a really horrible euphemism. Just like, did you get any digger last night, mate? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I got some digger.
I got
a monkey.
Big dump truck, mate.
Got a big dump
big
truck.
Big dump truck.
Of smack.
Ooh, big cat.
Big
cat.
Big needle. Capper. Big injection.
Crane.
Drugs. Drugs in
Crane.
My eyes. Drugs in my eyes. No, Jasper's getting... Oh, we forgot to close the window. Oh, it's fine. You might get some ambient truck noise.
Yeah.
Maybe it's appropriate for talking about diggers. Yeah, so I just spent... As you know, they don't. I mean, that's why I'm saying it. But
yeah.
I just spent the weekend with Jazza.
It'd be terrible if you just assumed everyone knew what I knew about you when you're telling these stories.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
God.
Then everyone would be really bored. Like, you're already bored. No, I just spent... I went away for a weekend, which I rarely do. Not in a like woe is me, but like I really do unless it's to do with work. Like I'll go somewhere with John.
Yeah.
But I
just
actually,
for the sake of it.
Yeah, I took a weekend out and we went to Rye by the like near Camber
Seven
Sands.
Seven Seas Off.
Yeah, like down by what?
It's a Led Zeppelin song, isn't it? Seven Seas of Rye.
Oh, Seven Seas of Rye. I thought, oh okay. Yeah. I was going to make a Catcher in the Rye kind of like a Salinger thing.
Yeah.
The moment's passed.
Then what'd you do?
Then I'd be...
So you went to Rye.
Angsty in a book. I don't know what happens in that book. I can't remember it.
That's
I went
pretty much
to
it.
Rye. It's angsty
He's
in a book,
sarky,
right?
Yeah.
He's sarky and
yeah,
unhappy
yeah.
about something.
And everyone's a phony.
Yeah, so I went to Rye, which is lovely, by the way.
Oh, good.
And I spent a weekend with... Oh, great, he says, checking his phone.
Hey, I'm prepping the next bit. I'm just checking I've still got it.
Prepping?
I'm
we
listening.
Don't prep.
Hey, you wait.
We prepare, we pair.
You wait for this bit.
Pre. Anyway, so I went to Rye, okay.
Pair's not a word.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is.
It's no,
a
it's
fruit.
Not. P-A-R-E is not a word meaning like...
Ah, no, pair,
B-A-R-E,
P-A-R-E is a word.
You
pair
not,
a fish.
You've let me finish it.
Yeah.
I don't, do you pair
and you
it, or is it just...
pre-pair a fish.
No, that's not what that means.
You, like,
though.
Descale it.
Yeah, but that's not preparing it.
Well, it's preparing the fish.
Yeah, but
it's
not...
It's what happens
that's exactly
you
the point
it.
I'm trying to make. You're not... It's not nothing to do with... Oh, my God, I hate this. Prepare is from a word that existed as prepare already.
Yeah.
It wasn't pair with pre put on the front of it. It's like disgruntled. There wasn't a word called gruntled.
There must be.
There's not. There's absolutely not. I wish gruntled was a word because it just means like satisfied. No, it doesn't.
I thought there just must be because
no,
like,
disgruntled is just a word in itself.
Yeah, and also like if you were gruntled, it still would imply that you're disgruntled.
I think it's called a false friend, but I think that might be in another language. But like it's got a false prefix on it.
Like Zach.
He's got a silent quit on the front of it.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-Zach. Anyway, so I went to Rye. What were we talking about? I went.
Oh, is that what dribbles out before Zach gets there?
Yes. Good.
Sorry.
Good.
Sorry.
So, I go to Rye with my brother and my sister-in-law and Jasper, my nephew.
Yes.
Because like, my brother invited, he called me up and he was like, look, we should just go and do this because we never get to see each other because he's obviously always on tour. Mm. They're raising a kid. I'm normally away or sat with you, like, you know, stoned. Like, you know, it's one of those things.
One of those things.
So I was like, no, fuck it. I'm actually going to take a weekend out. And the plan was we'd go via my gran's house. Mm-hmm. And we'd stay a night with my grandmother and she could hang out with Jasper. And also, I don't get to see my gran very much. She's called Guinea. She's brilliant, and then we go to Rye for a couple of days. And some that like so. Firstly, now we were gonna have a chat about Jasper about a year ago on the podcast, and you gave me a really good bit of advice. You were like, don't talk about it. Not in a
small and rubbish.
Yeah, and it was like, don't talk about it, because what are you gonna say? You're just gonna say, oh, he's fine, isn't he? Like,
you're gonna say he's really cute and I love him.
Exactly, yeah. Which is what everyone says about things.
And now he's two and a bit.
Now he's a fucking. Person,
yeah,
right?
Man.
That's creeped me the fuck out because
he's got anecdotes. He's got work
quips.
Stories.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a funny little moustache.
Yeah, exactly. Does his hat thing.
Yeah.
So he's he's now got basic, very basic English.
French.
Yeah, he's got basic French, conversational Portuguese. And like, no, he can walk, he can run, he can dance, he can do all of those things. Like a person, right? I still can't dance.
He can dance.
I can barely
run. Like, it's like, fun baby dance.
Yeah, fun baby
dance.
Foxtrot. No, when he dances, he immediately falls. It is hilarious. But that is another just one of those like babyisms. It's like, oh, it's very fun when he dances. But it was amazing, like, trying to work him out. Like, I've never done that before. He's my first nephew. Like, I've also I'm the youngest of my family, so I was never like...
I've never had a little guy around.
This is brand new to me. And I was terrified of him because I thought, what if I break him? What if something like that? But then when he was about 6 months old, I hit his head on a cabinet. I panicked and his mum was like, I don't give a shit. Like, he hits his head on so many cabinets.
Yeah, you say that. What happens if he, like, when he turns six? He just goes, it's never been the same since Uncle Paddy fucked my head up.
And he remembers everything. He's got like a photograph.
Up
until that moment. No, but he's now, like, you have to now, like, work him out. You have to, like, in the like, a very childish way. Like, he says things, but he doesn't know what they mean. You can't articulate anything.
Mm.
So he just makes noise and expects you to get it. And if you don't get it, that upsets him. So you have to fucking get it. Otherwise, it's not going to be fun.
Armageddon.
And, like, the main thing that I was trying to work out, like, the first thing that is adorable, as I said, my grandmother is called Guinea. We're in the car driving to Guinea's house. And we keep on, like, I'm sat in the back with him, and I keep being like, we're going to see Guinea. Do you want to see Guinea? And he's getting really excited. He's met Guinea a couple of times, and he's like, Guinea, getting really on it. And then we get to Guinea's house, and I take him out of the car, take him out of his booster seat, pop him on the floor.
Doing a lot of shaking when he's doing those gestures.
Yeah, just throwing him around. And Guinea comes out of the house, and she, like, opens her arms in that very, like, grandmotherly way. And he runs towards her, going, Guinea. And it's, like, a beautiful thing.
Mm.
And he runs straight past her, and he runs into the house. And we're like, oh, I'm sure he's fine, like, whatever. And we go in, and he's running around the house saying, Guinea. And he's, like, looking under pillows and all that. And it turns out he was looking for a guinea pig.
Oh.
And he, like, got his little book out, and he was pointing at a guinea pig, and he was like, Guinea. And I was like, oh, no.
Where the fuck?
Yeah, he was like, what
is guinea
like,
pig
the
you
fuck
were going
is this?
About?
And I was like, oh, no, it's not a guinea pig. Like, she's Guinea. And he could not grasp that two things could be... different
no,
things
everything he held dear
and he was
been...
like oh and then he was really upset and oh, so we had to calm him down and he was like playing with the dogs and things like
well,
that
well because you hit his head on a cabinet
and I was and I was trying to find I was trying to like find like fun uncle things that could be like oh I'm gonna like ooh, like I'm...
so he's still a bit clear of the phrase fun uncle
fun
things.
Uncle thing no I'm trying ooh. To be like what can I impart to this guy what can I teach him what can I all this and so I'm like reading to him and in his book he's
yes on is a woodbine
for a start it's like okay here's a wood have a check on this Dunwich Dunhill. Like, no, he's like, we got one thing that's about like trucks and diggers, a little book, right? And he's going through it and he points to a digger and he says, digger. And I'm like, fuck, man, that's amazing. And then he points to the bin lorry and he's like, digger. And I'm like, no. I mean, I can't. And, you know, he's like pointing at
the car. I see your logic.
And he's like, digger, drive this way. And he's pointing in the direction the digger's facing. He's very hot on that. And I'm like, why don't we read Busy Bear? Busy Bear, great series of books, by the way. Almost on a par with, you know, the Seventh Little Witch one that I'm not taking the piss. Genuinely, Busy Bear is brilliant. And so Busy Bear is his busy day out, right?
Right.
And he's a fireman bear.
Do I need this,
man? Yeah, okay.
I've read a lot of kids' books recently. So, and I've realised I don't like.
And he loves Busy Bear. And in there, there's a mole who gets trapped in a house and the house catches fire and the mole looks a lot like Guinea. So he starts pointing to the mole and going, Guinea, and this is not a flattering picture of a grandmother.
She's a like, specky mole.
He's saying my name, and it is literally this old mole who is about to die. And then he forgets what a guinea pig is. I've got to reteach him that. And then he gets there, he throws the book and he stands in front of me and he goes, Mass, Mass, Bass, bah, ah, and he just marches out the room. And I was like, what does that mean?
That's like you after a long night.
Yeah, exactly.
He's, kind of going,
he's literally making those sounds.
And then you shit yourself and leave.
And cry, yeah. And I turned to my brother and I was like, what is Matt mean? And he's like, we cannot fucking work it out. He's doing it, he does it, and then he marches out of a room. And there is no way of...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Figuring it out. And so I was trying to like toy with him and be like, oh, what's the ma-ma part? And he'd be like, ma-ma, that is ma-ma. And eventually we worked out, like we retraced all the things he'd done since he started saying that. And it turns out that ma-ma, ma-ma-ma.
I need blood.
Serious blood. No, it turns out he watched The Trooping the Colours. You know,
oh
like,
my God.
Well, really weirdly,
with his granddad,
he watches Trooping the Colours, not my dad, but Jess's dad, I was watching this with him to calm him down one night because he likes watching it before he goes to sleep, right?
That's really sweet.
I know,
slightly
it's
sinister,
weird, right?
Isn't it?
And but they were like, he just loves his Trooping the Colours. Just put it on and he'll be fine.
He starts watching like great Russian military
Bolshevik theme,
does little impressions of them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like loading a rifle, Cossack dancing. That would be brilliant. But he's watching it and he's pointing at the screen. He's going, Matt, 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 Matt. And I'm like, look, you just need to shut up now. Like, it's almost
like,
8 p.m.
Capitalist regime, look, it's the man. It's the man. Did you say man?
It's the man. It's the man. And then he's pointing at it and he stops me. He puts his hand on my mouth for one bit where I'm going, like, look, aren't the funny soldiers doing this? And he puts his hand on my mouth.
Oh, I can appreciate that.
And he points to the screen. And then it's showing, like, whatever the fucking leader is of this marching band, right? And he goes, Mast bands on the left. Slow march and marches off camera, and
so
Jasper just stands up and walks out.
Oh.
And it turns out when I thought he was just trying to hit things with a stick, it was a little like marching
little baton.
Oh. And he's doing his little fucking thing, right?
How cute, but how weird!
Absolutely fucking adorable.
I've got a really I have an amazing one of those for my sister when we were growing up. So my sister had this weird routine where in the morning, you know, when you're little kids and in the morning you wake up and you go mum and dad's bed for a bit.
Yeah, of course. You're gonna have a sit, yeah.
And we used to get into quite a rigid regime. This, my sister's 4 years younger than me. So must have been 2 or 3, you know, really young. And she got into a habit of, like, my dad would kind of encourage her. She would just, like, duff my dad up in bed. Like, kind of, like, jump on him.
Yeah, yeah. Kick the shit out of
him. Yeah. And you used to the airplane thing. And he'd be like, oh, no, it's a crash landing. Ah! And then after a while, she started doing this thing where before he'd woken up, this evolved over a while, she would come in and she would like crouch at the end of the bed at his feet and just go and start saying the word tay-tow, tay-tow. Like under her breath, and then launched herself onto Dad.
Tay-tow.
Usually when he was half asleep,
right?
Elbows into like the stomach and groin.
Yeah, exactly.
And for years she did this. Every single time it was accompanied by tay-tow, and it became known as like doing a tay-tow. Oh God, Flora, please stop tay-towing.
Yeah, you're 20 now. Let's stop with this bollocks.
She still does it to this day. And for years, my mum was like, you know, driving her nuts. She's like, it's hilarious, but what the fuck does tay-tow mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. And we thought it was like tay-tubbies or ping-yo, something like that. We found out a long time later when we were watching a video with Ruben, my little brother, and it was, God, I mean, I don't really remember this moment very well beyond what we were doing, but it was the trailer. You know, on Disney videos back in the day, you had unskippable trailers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you had, you know, all those films. And one that was kind of on a lot of the videos we had, because it must have been the era, was a film called Oliver and Company, which I've never seen.
Okay.
Which is a retelling of Oliver.
Yeah, I remember
but
this.
With,
yeah.
It's like a little cat is Oliver and a dog is the Artful Dodger, and they're all like, you know.
Oh, fuck,
streets,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
But like modern day. And there's this moment, just in the trailer, really quick, it's cut really crappily, when loads of dogs jump onto another dog. They're like big dogs, and they say dog pile. It's like, dog pile! And they all jump on.
Hilarious.
And my sister just kind of went,
tay-tow.
Oh! No, this is years later. This is when she must have been like, you know, teenager.
Fuck.
I get it. Tay-tow.
That was.
Time.
But why tay-tow?
Because dog pile. Dog
tar,
tay-tow.
Tay-tow.
Yeah,
dog no,
pile.
Tay-tow.
Tay-tow. Yeah, exactly. Tay-tow. It kind of works.
That is absolutely fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Anyway, so you're going to say about your grandma, though?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say it's so funny because like, we had this really beautiful day like watching my grandmother and her great grandson. Like, you know, run around together, and like she lives on like an old farm. Basically, she used to have donkeys and goats and all this kind of stuff. I think I mentioned it before.
Weirdly enough, just like my sister met her great granddad, and he was 100 on her birthday.
Oh, that's
exactly
beautiful.
Exactly 100 years apart. There's an amazing photo of them both in, like, you know, Sunday best.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
Cake. Anyway, yeah. No, but that's so lovely.
But that's the thing, seeing that kind of stuff is beautiful. And I remember just, like, sat with my brother, like, having a smoke and watching them sort of running around by this little, like, duck pond and being like, this is absolutely gorgeous. And then sitting down with Gin later on and kind of being like, so is this amazing? And she was like, well, I've done this 3 times, like as in like I did this with my children and then you guys, like my grandchildren, and now I'm doing it with that. And she's like, I just get it now, like I just, you know, I'm an old woman, and like, you know,
and with you and your bro, you know, 20, you know, however far apart you guys are,
yeah, we're like 8 years apart,
yeah,
max, than that, 6 maybe.
No, but I just mean, but she must, there must have been like, you must have been part of her life for so long.
Just there always been kids around. She was so good with them. And she's got 2 dogs, right? She's got 2 little Norfolk Terriers, and they're just amazing. They're called Tiggy and Rufus, and they're really, really good with Jasper, like because they're like Norfolks aren't exactly violent dogs. But I was sort of like,
but little yappy dogs might, you know, you always kind of worry what they're like about with children.
Exactly. And I was saying sort of like, oh, like, you know, did you ever have one time when you had a grandkid or a kid, did you ever have like a violent dog? And she used to keep Staffies.
So could well have done.
And she was like, yeah, I used to have to separate them. I used to have to do all this stuff. And she led us into this like sort of side room. And she was like, we used to lock Hector in here.
This is the dog death room. This is where we put naughty children with the most violent dogs.
And she was like, we used to have to lock Hector in here when you guys came around because you were so small and he was quite a big dog.
Oh.
And she was like, and in this drawer, in that very grandmotherly way, she got a bit misty-eyed, and she was like, and this drawer was where I used to keep my toffees. And she opens this door and she was like, and one day we locked Hector in here, and he must have got hungry, so he got into the drawer and he ate all of the toffees. And it was amazing because they were in individual wrappers, and then later on he came into the room and he shat them all out, still perfectly formed, in little poos in wrappers, and he just left them round the living room. And they were apparently like nothing had changed in these things, and she got really...
So he hadn't eaten the toffee.
Oh, no. It's remained the full thing. He walked them all down, and they'd come out perfectly formed. And
And anyway, and she was, and then she started telling us stories about animals, and like she has a lot of beautiful stories about when she was raising her donkeys and all this kind of thing.
You know, I like telling those kind of stories because I get a little, sort of misty eyed over them. It's really sweet, even though like I only have 25 years of combined experience of memories. But like when you meet someone who's got fucking 90 of them, and you talk to them, like regardless of who you are, like I think when you talk to someone like that, and you suddenly go like, Jesus Christ, and they're like, well, I remember when, you know, Walter went to the war, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, like, she had a very hard life and stuff, but I don't know. Like, do you find that with, like, I get really weird about that kind of stuff. Like,
I mean, I don't want to be morbid about this, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Because I don't, I mean, I had one set of grandparents when I was a kid, but my granddad died when I was 12, and my grand died when I was about 20.
Right.
In the middle of uni. And when I was still, you know, when you're at that age when you think you're kind of too cool to be around your grandparents,
yeah,
really.
Of course.
And she was an amazing woman. I talked about her on the radio show, actually, the other week. And she was an amazing woman, did all sorts for women's health, particularly. But I never really... And I talked to her a couple of times about it, and I wanted to be a doctor when I first went to uni, so I talked to her about it then. But I very rarely had one of those moments when it was like, even when you're... Because it sounds like that, a large part of it is you're kind of being welcomed into the generation up,
yeah.
You know. And she's kind of going, oh, fine, well, it's not you anymore. I'm doing all the fun
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it's almost like she treated me differently.
Your
like,
brother's
like,
son.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, you know, not that I feel like really bereft of that or anything, but no, I've never had that. And I always had a sense of picking my granddad's brains. He flew supply planes in World War II.
Right.
And that was always, you know, amazing. And I definitely got a sense of, but I have never had a really close connection to people of that generation particularly. I've got it's my dad's family are quite... what's the word? I was going to say middle class and weird, but a little bit distant, not hugely. And I love, particularly my cousins. I get on with really,
yeah,
really
likewise
well.
With me as well.
Yeah, and my and
fucking
one
tons of them.
And you know, my dad's brothers are both good men, but they both, you know, they're both kind of in their 50s, 60s, and they've both got their own families, and they live quite far away now. And because there's no grand, we don't have those big family get-togethers anymore.
Oh, okay.
Whereas my mum's family, her mum and dad died when she was really young, when she was 25, maybe even younger. And she had a little sister and a little brother, and then she became basically the kind of little head of that
family. The matriarch, yeah.
And they are so close now, and like, you know, they argue a lot, and they have a lot of, I'm sorry, I'm getting really serious about my family. And that's a bit more close, but again, it's all through my mum. And they, my uncle is married, and she, and they, he, his wife's got kids from, and you know, who are much older.
Yeah, yeah.
And my auntie has two little kids who are actually not that little; they're 13 and 7. God, maybe she's older. Maybe she's like, maybe she's 9. Christ,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. But it's, and it's all through that. So we do like little Christmases together, and I'm the older cousin who, you know, come home from uni or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm always in. So. Yeah, it's really funny. And I was thinking my... I'm going to go off on one. It's weird thinking about when they die, particularly because I felt my gran and granddad die a lot. I really, you know, it was really saddening. But I, like I said, wasn't hugely close to them. So it was quite weird losing them.
Yeah.
But also being like... But it's not like I've lost a person who's really close to me. I know I've lost this bit of my family in this like kind of wedge of...
Yeah, yeah. Of,
you know,
this
history.
Tree that, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that goes...
You know what I mean? So it's quite weird to face it up, and I mean, partly I think I'm going to be really ill prepared to deal with my great aunt died a couple of months ago, and I just, and it was so, I felt really weird about it because I really felt like I could have and should have known a lot more about her, and she was really difficult and ornery and you know, like,
what does that word mean?
Ornery, just got pissed off really easily.
Oh, okay. All
and right. She really like upset my sister when my sister was going to uni.
Okay.
And it's now I feel bad about saying that. But it's her. It's who she was, you know.
But that's herself. I think that's really like, it's really interesting what you say about like being prepared for things as well. Because I mean, not to say we're from different worlds because we're from exactly the same world. But like, I feel like because my mum died,
different experience.
Because my mum died when I was very young, when I was 7.
Since
like,
then, it's been fine.
Since then, it's been just
don't
plain,
give a shit.
Plain sailing,
like,
mate. It hasn't affected me at
sorry,
all.
Sorry, I supposed to be like, but it's not mum, is it?
It's not like his mum. It's not like mum's dad.
Well, you know what?
What? Start with the pudding.
Thank God, dessert is served first.
Too rich for my liking.
No, thanks. No seconds for me, mum.
Oh, I'm That's
terrible. It's fine. But that's the thing. That's a key part of what I was about to say. One of the big things, despite all the sort of trauma and traumatic experiences that come from the death of a parent, that is incorporated into my humour so much. And I think it's changed the way I make jokes about things. It gave me a certain different... A certain different thing, not a better one or a worse one in how I tell jokes or how I approach bad situations.
In a way, here's the thing I have to deal with. Why can't I make jokes about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why, if that thing's not sacred, then what else isn't sacred? Not that you're all about, like...
Yeah, yeah.
You're breaking the taboos. Yeah, I'll say anything shit. Frankie Boyle, you fucking dick.
No, you're absolutely right. And it wasn't until, like, I was 13 or 14 that I started making jokes about it. And that was quite powerful.
I remember at school, particularly, because obviously when we were kids, the big thing was, you know, anything gets said, but your mum.
Exactly.
And I remember saying to you... before we knew each other very well, you know, just on one of those stupid exchanges on a bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone said, like, oh, don't eat it all I want, all I want. You know, something. And I was your mum, Paddy. And you just went, oh, my mum's dead, actually. Completely straight face.
So deadpan.
And I felt like shit.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It was hilarious.
That's the thing. It's very funny. And I think I mastered that. It's like I was telling you that story the other day.
Yeah.
Where I was, this must have been, what, 4 days ago? I was on a tube. Laurie's heard this story, but for the benefit of you at home, I was on a tube.
And then what happened?
What happened then? Did mum die? I was on a tube. And I had my headphones in. And they're not very good headphones, so I could hear what was going on the tube. And these two guys sat next to me, both quite pissed, cans of Cronenberg, started ripping the shit out of me quite openly, making other people in the carriage uncomfortable that I couldn't hear them. Almost.
Why?
And like I was starting noticing people looking at me, and they were like, "Look at this guy with fucking long hair."
Were you
like,
wearing your special crown though?
I was wearing my special crown made out of bollocks and cucumbers. I was sat there, and I could hear all of this going on, and I was like, "Am I going to react to this? I could easily just pretend that I can't hear them and then I'll get off my stop."
I hate that, though.
But it was
worst.
Making other people uncomfortable, and that in turn made me more uncomfortable. One of them, not directing a question to me, but one of them was like, "Oh, why don't you?" I was looking quite down, I guess, and he was like, "Oh, what the fuck's up with you then, mate? Why don't you cheer the fuck up?" And his mate sort of laughed. And I, with my headphones in, turned to him and went, "My dad just died." And literally, you could have cut the silence with a fucking knife. It was amazing. Everyone in the carriage just went totally balls, and they did not know how to react.
It's amazing.
And I smiled and then got off the train.
I smiled, dropped my pants,
and just started wanking. Yeah, and like, no, and I just got off the train, and it was so powerful being able to be like, because also you shouldn't joke about that kind of thing. My dad isn't dead, but I just thought, I went, how can I diffuse this immediately that I will be comfortable with through my shared
experience?
It's
not necessarily like wrong.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's hilarious and
it's like,
great.
Yeah, it's like make your pain your power. It's that old thing. But also, like going back to what we were saying earlier about whether that prepares you for stuff or things like that. So the other major deaths in my family, so we're very much on, like your family, on one side, very much united by Guinea. She is the old person
matriarch.
And she is the matriarch. And all of my dad's family, we all know each other. We see each other 5 times a year or so. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
My mum's side, very different story. All the Scots, we don't see them that often. There was been a lot.
Without being glib, your link to that bit of the family is not there anymore.
Exactly, and sort of, and we won't go into that side of the family anyway. But like, it's always been like that. And so the other sort of death in the family that happened in the past couple of years was my uncle Robert died, and he was an astounding individual. He was a West End actor, and he was in The Woman in Black. For about 15 years.
Oh, who was he?
And
as in the West End production of it.
He was a big black moustache, like slicked back hair. He was a big dude. He was amazing.
God, I can't remember that play. My memory going to see that is I went to see it with my family, who are scaredy cats. We're not big horror fans.
How old were you?
I was like 20. I was really up for it. And it was amazing. It's a bit of theatre. I'm not into that kind of thing. But we went with like an A-level class.
Oh, okay.
Worst experience of my life. Being like, oh my god, no, he's gonna be blind him.
It is absolutely terrifying.
No. With a 16-year-old commenting on the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit,
oh my god,
okay.
No, my god, if he comes out there I'm gonna scream. Ah, scream.
I saw it when I was about
it's terrifying.
11 or 12 years old, and it gave me nightmares. Anyway, he was brilliant, and he's been like, he was in Doctor Who, he was in The Hour, he was in The Town, he was in loads of stuff. And anyway, he very sadly died a couple of years ago of brain cancer. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, like an absolute, like it.
Do you know, there's an element of that being, he's, I mean, you know, he's your mum's generation, and
yeah.
It's not, this, you know, this thing that happened to me in the far off.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like great great uncle, you know, Bevan.
I'm an adult. I understand entirely what this means now. More similar situation. And he's my, you know, my dad's brother, my mum's brother.
He was my dad's sister's husband.
Okay, but yeah.
So like that's the, and it's like I'd only fucking met the dude like what 20 times over the course of my life, and I fucking adored him, and he was so funny, and like, but when that hit, I thought like we all knew he was gonna die, but in my head I was like, I've dealt with this, like I've dealt with this before. When it happens, I'm gonna be strong. I'm gonna be there for my cousins. I'm gonna be blah blah blah. And then I found out, and it was just like it knocks you for six, like immediately. Same when my dog died as well.
Oh, I mean,
like,
we've talked about dogs that before.
Don't even, whole different thing. I can't even watch Marley and Me, and that film is shit.
But it's horrendous.
But it's horrendous, right?
It's powerful. Exactly.
But I remember... And
my dog, by the way, my family dog turned 10 the other day.
Stanley. Little Kubrick.
But
he's so good. I love it.
But he's 10.
But that's the thing. And I've either told the story to you or on the podcast before. Excuse me if I have. But like one of the really lovely things, I hadn't seen my dad react to his death. And my dad and Robert were really close. Mm. And I remember I arrived at a pub to meet my dad. And I was wearing this big long jacket that I always wore, my green one that I've, you know, always got. And I had a book sticking out of my pocket, as I always do, because I'm bohemian.
yes.
And as I walked in, Dad went, oh, and then Dad just stopped and was like, oh, hi. And he was really weird with me. And I was like, what's up? And he went, no, it's just, he was like, excuse the story, but it's that book. He's like, have you got a book in your pocket? And I was like, oh, yeah. And it was like top of it sticking outside of my thing. And he was like, oh, what is it? And I pulled it out, and it was some, you know, fancy novel or something like that.
Tits and Elves.
And Dad was like, why'd you keep it in your pocket? And I was like, oh, because it's always there, and I can always go to it. And he went, huh? And he got this very misty look, and I was like, what? And he was like, well, I was sat in a very similar pub about 20 years ago when me and your Uncle Robert were becoming friends, and they met up for a pint. And Robert came in this long green coat, with this little thing sticking out of his pocket. And Dad went, oh, what's in your pocket? And he went, it's a book. And Dad went, oh, okay. And he takes it out, and it's in a brown paper bag. And he's like, okay. And he unwraps it, and it's this old... He loved books. He had like leather-bound books. And he takes it out of the thing and shows it to my dad. My dad goes, oh, look, it seems like a really... Like, why did you just buy it? Is that why it's in a bag? And he goes, no, it's in a bag to keep it clean. And then puts it back in, wraps it up.
That's not your...
And pops it back in his pocket. And Dad just had that sudden thing. And then Dad got really emotional about it when we were in the pub.
That's what it takes. Yeah.
And also, and this is just a very sweet thing, because I learnt this the other day from my cousin. This is getting so morbid, but I think this is beautiful. When Robert was taken home from the hospital... he was taken into his library, and apparently he has this big leather chair, and literally his library is amazing. All these old texts and play scripts, and he sat in this chair and went, ah, my books. And that was, and then he was just left to himself. And I think that, and that's one of like the lasting memories of him, that was like this final thing. It's fucking cool, isn't it? But it does, I mean, it really does kind of hit you where it hurts. I don't know where to go from here.
No. Well, I'm just left with a profound sense of I don't know that. I feel really bereft. Weirdly, I feel bereft of a good death.
But that's bereft of a good death. That's the thing. But like, it's like the thing they say in Community. Ah, the pain of having no pain.
Yeah.
Like in that thing, which is bollocks, because everyone experiences the same thing over the course of a lot, and obviously in very different ways. But things happen to people at different times. Like, and that's just how it is. Like, I have no more experience with most of those things than you will when they happen to you, and vice versa. Yeah,
you
as
do
well.
Now, you do now, and I feel like a fleshy pink child.
Yeah, but also, but you interact with me on like you understand me on a level that means that you can interact with those things. I think.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think I do, because I think those things are beyond. Sorry, this is really heavy.
No. Welcome to Pod Shambles. We can keep excusing it, but I'm into this now.
That kind of stuff really transcends thought and our ability to communicate, I think. I think being racked with grief is one of the most... I've been upset and I've been grieved, but I've never... I don't know. It's a thing. And, it, you know, every time I kind of feel like I miss it, it's... Yeah. I don't know. It makes me feel like a bastard sometimes. Who knows? We'll find out.
Who fucking knows?
Basically, Pads, just have one of my elderly relatives killed humanely, and we'll find out.
And we'll take it from there.
Oh, my young relatives.
Find out next time on Podshambles 46.
Oh, boy. It's been a good one.
No, I've enjoyed this.
Can you imagine if we got haunted by people we'd pissed off who'd then died who came on the podcast? Maybe your uncle was unhappy that you told that story.
He'd be a great ghost.
That's why I thought
God, he'd be
him.
A good ghost.
Whoa!
He'd be the ghost Whoa! On the stage. He'd be the,
Has anyone seen my books?
Anyone seen? Yeah, exactly. Only referencing things that I've specifically referenced.
Yeah. I think that'd be... Well, listen, stand by for maybe something funny at the end of this.
Yeah, exactly. Who fucking knows?
If we were legs, we'd be wonky. And if we were dogs, we'd be runts. In a field of horses, we're donkeys. In a bowl full of porridge, we're lumps. And if we were eggs, we'd be broken. And if we were wine, we'd be corked. But thank you for downloading Podshambles. We like that you like when we talk.
That's nice. Would you rather? Back to the fun.
Oh.
Would you rather, Laurie Havelock, age 10. Would you rather chocolate or jam? Would you rather
both?
Always have to speak in riddles.
Ooh.
Or have a ball sack full of Skittles.
Now, hang on.
I've been sitting on that one for a while.
What, your ball sack full of Skittles?
Hello, I knew you'd pick up on that. God, it's like ding and bong, isn't it?
Would you?
I set them up.
I smoke a bong.
You smoke a bowl.
Now, is a ball sack full of Skittles, is yep. that a riddle in itself? Is that actually a metaphor?
For life itself.
Yeah, for something I'd have.
For death.
Do you rather speak in riddles or... A bollock bag full of Skittles.
A bollock bag full of Skittles.
Actually means... No, what would I... Always speak in riddles.
Yeah.
Right, so, anytime I open my mouth to say any utterance, instead of me saying anything vaguely useful, it's a riddle.
Yeah.
I can't even say yes or no without it being...
No, it has to be
Well, perchance I'm positive about this answer, but negativity may take me for a prancer.
But yeah, but maybe they always have to rhyme as well.
Oh, no, that's what that might be too... Were.
Yeah, no, they're riddles.
Okay. Or a ball bag full of Skittles.
Or a ball bag full of Skittles.
And no bollocks.
No.
So I can have children. Apart from horrible Skittle
Rainbow
mutant
kids.
Children. Like the M&M. Like the M&Ms you that could do the adverts.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how my children would end
They'd
up.
End up like
Wide
that.
Crassing.
Or you could adopt.
Okay. Could I have sex?
Yeah, maybe if you had sex with someone whose ovaries were also full of Skittles.
It would taste the rainbow.
It would cancel out and you'd have a normal baby.
Alright, so that's, likely, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, ball bag full of Skittles. No, okay, you can't have children, but it's way easier to adopt.
Because they're like, oh, you're ball bag Skittles
Yeah, you're ball bag Skittles guy. You're quite, actually, you can choose your fame.
I'll go for ball bag Skittles. That'd be quite fun, I think. I don't want to be rude. Does my...
Jeez, Johnson
my
still...
My jizz. Does it taste like Skittles?
I thought you were going to dress
Do
that
Do I
up?
Jizz Skittles? I'm not going to dress them up if it's already full
yeah.
of Skittles.
No, fuck it. Why not? Not Skittles. It's the same.
It's going to dress up my junk
it's
if it's
fluid, but it's
tastes like
skittacular. Yeah, exactly. It's skittacular. But you have
jizz.
To. You would obviously people would be freaked out initially. You'd have to explain it.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to pull that out. No,
pull the wool over their eyes on that one.
But also they would definitely freak out before I came. Like they'd definitely be like, "Why is your ball bag full of tiny, tiny little pebbles?"
And they don't know that it's Skittles.
That's the
but
thing.
When you explain it, they have to be Skittles.
Yeah, but then surely I'd have to. Then surely the only way I'd really be able to demonstrate is to come, and then they'd be like. Oh,
it's Skittles.
Now I taste the rainbow and I understand
God,
your
Jesus
dilemma.
Jesus Christ. No.
That's what
so,
we're going on about.
We have to assume that this doesn't make you like some kind of freak of net. Like people are
I, don't know,
I
mate.
Mean people are going
to
like you're going to be like, "Oh, by the way, full of Skittles."
Oh like, yeah, like uncomfortably
jam packed.
Yeah,
down
so,
there.
And also okay, when it's sweaty, when you hold Skittles and or then, Smarties and they get and all the colours rub off.
Like when I fed the Skittles to that monkey.
Yeah.
And Tony licked all the colouring off and threw them.
Yeah. No, not really like that. No.
No, we've got to assume that they're eternal Skittles.
Yeah,
like
but do I get multicoloured sweat in my ball bag?
Yes.
Okay. Then definitely the Skittles.
Definitely the Skittles.
Yeah, that'd
be
fun. That'd be fun.
And also riddles would get in the way. Although you might be a very good poet or something if you always spoke in riddles.
Yeah, you'd be bored. You'd never get invited to anything, though, would you?
You could write a good book.
No, we're not for speaking riddles. Then I have to say the whole book out loud to see how it comes out when I said it.
I suppose that's very
Surely
true.
I don't think in riddles. Surely I think in normal speech and it just comes out as riddles.
Yes, yes.
It's not like, it's not, that's not like one of the my things. Entire method of thinking.
I've really thought this one through, yeah. By the way, as you can tell.
As I can tell, Skittles, just
I'm
Skittles.
Go Skittles.
Taste the rainbow, please.
Oh, amazing.
But all right, well, I don't have any good ones, actually, unfortunately, for you. But
great, what thanks, I do man. Have, super prepared.
What I do have, I am super prepared because I enlisted the help of all of our little shambloids instead. I put out a
rally. Can I just say, you started this with, I don't have any good ones. But I've...
No, I haven't come personally. Up with any
Well, I've
ones.
Only got shit, but it's their
I've
fault. Got,
I've trawled the internet for some right
Grey day
shit. But no, I've got some... We've had loads of responses, and thank you very much to everyone who either tweeted me or shared one on my Facebook page or on the Podshambles Facebook page. Do keep an eye
did
out there.
Did you do this?
I did this, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're pretty cool.
I'm pretty.
Hey, you're kind
I'm
of cool
than
guy.
Just, I'm more than just a cheap fuck, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm also...
Fucking Vendetta.
I'm fucking Vendetta.
You're always going to be my fucking
what?
Vendetta.
Big moves. Cool moves.
Bring
I don't even
know. Cool moves. Hashtag cool moves. Come
hashtag
on.
Cool moves. Sorry. So I've got a couple. I'm going to rattle through a couple because we've got loads.
Yeah.
If you don't hear yours today and you definitely send one in, listen next week because we'll come back to them. And if you also have any more, send them in. We'll remind you of all the channels. So here are some quick fire ones to start with.
Okay.
Would you rather
have
Wotsit dust covering your fingers and hands for the rest of your life, brackets, and it reappears as soon as you lick and wash it off?
That's a pain in the ass.
Or only be able to talk about Brexit for the rest of your life?
All political.
That comes in from Henry Evans Harding on
Facebook. Okay, well, actually, Laurie, I mean, as a political comic, I'm kind of, I am going to be talking about Brexit for the rest of my life. If I could, hang on. No, if Brexit won, because I could cut my tongue out.
Never talk about
that's
it again.
Go. That's the way around.
Right,
it,
that's
right?
Good. I don't need any other clarification.
Yeah, because the what's it thing? I could never sleep comfortably. I could never be.
It'd be horrendous, and it's
could
also
never know
horrible.
The love of a good woman.
Well, unless she was really into licking what's it dust off your fingers infinitely.
Yeah, that's a bit cheesy.
Yeah. Right,
no, Brexit thing. Cut my tongue out.
All right, that's horrendous. Great. I got two quick fire ones from Twitter as well. We got the brothers Blair. Artie Blair says, "Would you rather eat all your hair? A lot of hair." For Mr. Jervis here.
Oh, right. Or, is that aimed at me?
It's for anyone. That's okay. My addendum.
Okay.
Or would all the food you eat for a year taste like mustard?
Everything
you eat. Everything you eat.
Because mustard is one of the last things I'm yet to get over with food.
Oh, so then you get over it.
I'd get into it.
Yeah,
I think I'd get into
mustard.
It. And then after a year, imagine eating your favourite thing after a year.
A lovely whole grain mustard. Yeah, but a year of eating everything, a taste of something you admittedly don't like.
Oh, yeah, but I eat very little anyway. But actually, no, mustard I can't deal with. I can deal with like bullshit mustard, like French's American Yellow. I can deal with that because it's like bollocks.
Oh, bullshit. Get
but
on the whole grain
no,
shit.
I can't
get
do
on
it,
that
man.
Dijon.
But I think also, if I had to eat all my hair... I mean, I guess my hair would grow back.
Yeah, but then you shit out a big old hairball.
Yeah, I'd get a, what they call a bazoa.
A bazoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Bazoa.
No,
they cut it open and find, what was it, like the cure for life or something?
Yeah, it's like a bazoa.
It's a bazoa stone.
Yeah, you get a bazoa stone. It used to be used to heal people. Only like kings and stuff could afford them.
It's horrid.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally horrid. It's obviously totally illogical. But how do trolls make bazoas?
They're not real.
I know.
The way you said that, yeah. Apparently. Trolls make this
you know, under their bridge. Yeah, that bridge.
And they're on the internet posting
what was
their
the second thing? Mustard.
Pepe the Frog. And they just shit out a little bazooka.
Now
a
hate symbol.
Time. I know, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Funny
so.
How the internet works.
Look at that. A bit of topical shambles. Oh. Yeah, the mustard thing. I get used to it.
All right, okay. And from Louis Blair, the second half of the Brothers Blair. Would you rather eat in one sitting, mind, 30 pounds of cheese or
you.
An entire bucket
yeah.
of peanut butter?
How big's a bucket?
Not. Crucial addition, no water allowed.
Oh.
Big one for the peanut butter, man. A
Are
bucket,
we assuming that
a
neither,
pail,
and neither would kill me?
Yeah. You could, your stomach, if for these purposes.
A bucket?
Like a pail of, I think, like, you know, a metal
what was
bucket.
What was the measurement of cheese?
30 pounds.
2.2 pounds of jam is equal to a kilogram. So we're talking like, what, 13 kilos of cheese?
Yeah, a lot of cheese, man.
13 kilos.
That's
how
26
big, is, like,
big blocks.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. They're 500 grams, the big blocks. You know, the massive cheddar, the economy cheddar ones you get, they're a kilo each. 13 of those. No
in
water.
One sitting.
Yeah, one sitting.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, because at least it'd be nicer. But then it would probably ruin peanut butter.
Plus, it'd ruin peanut butter for a bit, but I'd rather spend... I love peanut butter, but I'd rather spend a life not eating peanut butter anymore than a life not eating cheese anymore.
Imagine the poo.
Yeah, it would just be the same.
Like a horrible pest dispenser.
Yeah, and the bucket after.
All right, okay. I'm just going back to the other one. Okay.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you for that. Sorry.
Thank
Louis
you, everyone.
Answered, great one. I've just lost one of them. There's another really good one. Okay, now he, I'm going to save him for the finale. This is your big one, okay? You can, we can talk about the ins and outs of this one. This is from Benjamin Bridger, who we had, by the way, on our Shoreditch radio show very recently.
Oh, yeah, when I was away.
He was an excellent guest. He's another comedian.
He cuckolded me.
Yeah, he did. We had a lot of sex.
Iago.
Great. Iago. Lucrezia.
Lucrezia.
Would you rather...
Is this the last one?
No, I've got one more.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, because I'm not ready for this to end.
Would you rather... Whoever is... Would you rather wear shoes on your hands and feet and walk on all fours for the rest of your life?
The rest of my life?
Rest of your life. Or, for a week, try and carry out daily all your daily tasks, for example, commuting, work, socialising, brackets, on your belly like a snake.
For a week?
Everything.
Instead of a lifetime. So, my options are week, well, not a mile week.
It'd be horrendous.
On
your belly, like a snake.
And do I have to carry out, like, what I usually do in a week?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think I could get away with it for a week.
Specified commuting work data. So imagine you, okay.
Everyone would think I'm having a breakdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas a life of me being weird also, goat man.
You might well die by being on your belly all day or for a week. Imagine crossing the road on your belly.
Yeah, I'd be like Snail Man in Trigger Happy TV. I'd just go to pedestrian crossings.
Yeah, and hold
but
it
what
right
would
out.
I have to do? I guess I'd have
also,
to...
Also, imagine
have,
the diseases you catch.
I'd have to gig on my belly. Actually, there are some gigs where they'd be like, oh, they're clever.
Johnny's there going, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, the week-long trial as opposed to the lifetime one, clearly. Yeah, definitely. Actually, I'd like to try that. Maybe
yeah,
for like a
but
day.
Maybe if you wore shoes and on your hands and feet and walked on all fours, you'd maybe get really, really good at it. And maybe you'd gain some amazing advantage. And you'd like, I'm sure there's a race that you can walk on your hands and feet.
I bet there is, but also no one would ever love me.
They would. No one would ever love you if they saw you carrying out all your daily tasks on your belly.
Yeah, for a week. That could just be a bad patch
through. Someone's going to video that shit. Yeah. That's the thing. That's going to live you down for the rest of your life. Whereas if you, for you know, that one week would define you forever.
Yeah, but then it would be like, oh, they got the better. If you filmed it and put it up, it would either be like the funniest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Or it'd be like, what's this weird guy
doing?
And then if anyone ever tracked me down, I'd be like, I just went around on my belly for a week.
It'd be an internet funny thing that isn't funny after a while. You'd be like Taizonde and Chocolate Rain Guy.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be able to get past it.
No, definitely the snake thing. I've always wanted to be a snake. Snake is my new insult, by the way.
As in you snake.
As in, yeah, like...
So, that's so venomous as an insult.
Nice.
Snake. Oh, I mean, a good link. Yeah.
No, James and I have agreed that that's what we now call each other. Instead of just endlessly shouting, fuck you, at Mario Kart and stuff like that, you now have to turn and go, you snake.
That is good, because it is
fucking
properly
snake.
Barbed.
Yeah.
No, you can't say it too angrily, though.
Oh, no, but there's so
it's
many
the
different
thing,
ways you can call someone a snake.
It's the kind of thing that in, like, a high-octane sci-fi novel, when the main character... is never to be betrayed.
Yeah, when they step behind the Lord and look at his wizened mentor
before he gets killed. Goes, you snake.
Oh, man.
Mate, we're both reading a book at the moment.
Yeah, Red Rising.
Red Rising. I'm reading a second one called Golden Sun.
Yeah.
It is entirely full of, like, those moments. It's so good.
Oh my god, there's so many snakes.
Okay, one more Wicked Rango one. Thank you so much, everyone. This is the last one. This is from Louis Hughes on Facebook.
You should do this one with me.
Who was the first one to answer the call? I will.
Oh, nice.
And do you know what? It is a bloody good one for us both to answer.
Okay.
Would you rather ride on a goose-sized boat or a boat-sized goose?
A goose-sized boat.
Yeah, so a tiny
going through the harbour, down the canal.
He's got us so well at this question. Because I don't think I can choose, man. I don't think I can choose. Because that would be
also,
so fun.
If there was a word cloud of everything we'd ever said, those would be the two biggest
words.
Boat
and goose. Yeah. Well, because of your insistence on them.
Oh, man.
Okay, so a goose-sized boat.
Let's weigh up the pros and cons.
Would be a tiny boat. We're assuming that this is perfectly balanced so that we can just... Just like tiny bicycles that I've always thought are so funny.
Yeah. Someone on a tiny
bicycle. Instead of that, it's a little boat, and it's got a tiny little funnel that puts out a little put of smoke, and you've got a little captain's hat.
I've got
a tiny steering wheel and a little ding 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 ding.
Can it only go on water?
It's a boat.
But can it go in, like, puddles? Because it's
shallow. Anything that its birth can sit in happily. A bath it can go in.
And it's not, like, dangerous.
No. Let's assume for this that it functions as a boat. That you couldn't go out to open sea on it.
You couldn't, couldn't you?
No, you couldn't. You would definitely die.
Still imagining. Can it be powered by a tiny bike?
Very still water. No.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay,
that'd be so much fun.
Or a boat-sized goose. So I'm thinking like a small fishing boat-sized goose.
Or
as angry as a
yacht.
No, not a yachting goose. A yachting goose is too
well.
Far
no, hang on. Okay, so well, let's be real.
Is it
for a second?
Okay, yeah.
Boat-sized goose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boat-sized goose. You can
boat-sized poos.
You can. Yeah, I mean, you can fly on it.
Yeah, with
You can do all the things that the boat can do. But
better.
But you wouldn't be able to go through smaller tunnels
or locks.
Oh, mate! But imagine it's equally funny as well. Getting to a lock in a tiny boat, and
getting there on an enormous goose.
The 35-minute wait whilst he does the water just for you, sat in your tow with your little hat. Two of us. Just yeah, you could so easily climb out and walk along.
Carry
the
your boat
instead
along.
Of just waiting, smiling,
I'm waiting,
calmlessly.
Whereas a massive goose would fill up the entire lock full of goose. And he's like eating the lockmaster's hat every time.
Keep having to give him new hats.
If you had a boat-sized goose, it would eat people. Like that's the kind of shit
but geese
would
don't
pull.
Eat meat.
Yeah, I know, but like geese are obstinate enough that they just go and just swallow someone's.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay,
think you'd have to. What do geese eat?
Geese eat grass.
Goose grass.
And little beasties in the water.
Bread?
And plants, mostly. Pondweed.
Okay.
All right, here's my suggestion.
Right.
What about you have the tiny, tiny boat, and I'll have the giant, giant goose.
Oh, I'd rather have the goose.
Yeah, but we can swap at weekends.
Okay, are you sure?
You know, joint custody. I'm sure.
Okay.
Let's do that. Louis, thank you for that. That was absolutely magnificent.
It's just the image of the lock. Just... us both sat on it. That's the thing. For pure comic value, the boat is funnier. In terms of having a giant bird, that does the bird do our bidding?
Yeah, absolutely. Our dark bidding.
Then we'd either be the guys who have a tiny boat or the masters of geese.
Master of one goose.
The other geese would
one
follow
goose.
It.
No, the other goose would be scared of it.
We could
be like, who the fuck
we
is
we could
this?
Go to that place with all the pedlos and just go around on a
the
real
goose shaped pedlos.
Oh, that would be great.
What a weekend. Well, look, I think we've got to wrap it up there because that is too much goose chat for one
week. That's never enough.
Guys, thank you so much for sending those in. And do, as I said, Podshambles on Facebook, @Podshambles on Twitter, or you can email them to us, podshambles@gmail.com. Those are all the places.
Yeah, there's send YouTube.
Us your, this well, is I say, send us your would you rather.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And
yeah,
any suggestions
that.
For, you know, goose related fun.
Yeah.
And cooking suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
What can I cook?
What little cook? Big
teriyaki
cook.
Salmon.
Teriyaki salmon. And where else can people find us, Paddy?
They can go to YouTube. If they're into gaming, you can go to This Is a Shambles on YouTube, which is our channel, which
that's
has all
nice.
Of our gaming videos on that
that's,
are very, very good. They're very
nice.
Good, and I love them. And we're going to be making a bunch more of those now that we are both self-involved.
Yes.
So that's going to be awesome. You can also go on Reddit /r/podshambles and you can find us on there from time to time. But also we've got a couple. And what's your plan B?
Yes, we've got all these back episodes. I haven't put them up for weeks. I'm terribly sorry. I'm a shit. But they will all go up soon.
It's our radio show for anyone who doesn't
Shoreditch
know.
Shoreditch Radio.
Yeah.
UK. Listen on Fridays at 12 p.m. or on Mixcloud. You'll find all the old episodes.
12 p.m. being midday.
Midday for you. Midday for me.
Midday
it's a midday for three.
Midday for mum.
A midday for bum.
For bum. Oh, we need to give some shout-outs.
Oh, we do?
Before we go, this is primarily probably for people who either live in London or visit London or whatever, but there are two shows going on that we both want to give a shout-out to. The first one is Kate Quinn, who's been on this show, and she's been on What's Your Plan B.
Yep.
She's one of our closest friends. She's an actor. She's amazing.
Ooh,
she is in
this
iteration of News Review,
mm.
which is like the longest-running sketch comedy show of all time.
Yeah.
And it is on at the Canal Cafe. I think it's Thursdays through Sundays, 9:30, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 9 p.m. on Sundays.
Oof.
It's on for another 2 weeks.
Oof.
Laurie and I are going to be there on Sunday.
We are.
If you want to come,
may, this may be
fight
out
us.
By them.
This may be out by them. I think it should be. It's fine. Oh, it's Friday now. Oh, I don't know. So yeah, we will be there. That's Exit. It's political comedy for anyone who's interested. Sketch stuff, really good. The other thing is our friend Lauren Mooney, who hasn't been on the show but is equally excellent. She
bloody should. She knows what's good for us.
She is the producer at a company called Kadinsky Theatre, who are doing a show called Still Ill at the New Diorama Theatre, which is on Great Portland, top of Great Portland Street. In London's London. And I was going to say London's West End, and it's not West End. It's like
in, so the, you know, Northwest.
The
End.
Northwest. Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, the Canal Cafe is also in the Northwest. Google either of these things if you want to go. They're both excellent.
And you should go.
You should totally go, and we're going to go.
Oh, Paddy, I'm really knackered out, and I think my wisdom tooth is coming through now.
Is
it? Do you want to just get your head in there and have a look?
You should never look before you leap.
Exactly.
He says, never look before you leap.
You should. That's why he's infected.
Yeah,
he's
like, exactly. He's
like, a stitch in time
will kill you.
Oh, Zach is so asleep. A rolling stone
is fun to stand underneath.
A rolling stone will crush you.
Your little wisdom tooth.
Really,
I'm sorry. I'll get you some Corsodil, right? And I'll pop a cock in your mouth.
Oh, God. You've got to disinfect your cock this time. That'd
yeah,
nice.
Exactly. With my skittle balls or whatever it was.
We'll be back soon, won't we?
We'll be back soon. This has been a bumper edition of Fools. God, I am tired.
I am
drunk.
I know you. I'm very impressed at you.
Oh, mate.
Turning up with no trousers and lots of booze.
I think through the course of this episode, I've gone from being drunk to sober to hungover. Like, all in the space of about an hour and a half.
Mate. Let's go to bed quickly.
Thanks, guys. Let's go to bed. It's been a pleasure. Shambles out, dick. Dicks.
Fuck you, Florida.
Florida is so good.
Remix. It's a great sound check for if we just want to be beatboxing, but that's quite fun. I quite like that. What is that noise?
Don't want to say anything. No.
But I can make.
I know you can do a dry one. I can't do.
Oh no, hang on.
Yeah, I can't redo it. It's horrid. No, it really sounds like you're breaking something.
What?
It's like a nice hoarse one.
What?
No.
Oh, like clocks, like clippity clops.
If I could do it better, but I let my tongue go wobbly and then it goes. That's how you get the nice resonance on it. You can do the.
Can you do the cheek
thing?
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
Like a droplet, the dweep, dweep. Don't you have to tap your cheek for that?
No, clearly not.
Do you know the people that do that, though?
Yeah, hang on, I'm trying to do it, if you let me.
All right, okay.
People are trying to listen to the sound check, trying to listen to Laurie do the cool drop noise.
Do
and
the
now
cool
I'm
drop noise.
Well, not much of those pressures, I'm going to be as good.
Go on, do it.
I can do it sometimes.
You're like a glug jug. Did you ever have a glug jug?
No, this has run its course.
No. Have you ever seen a glug jug?
No, I'm shaking my head.
Glug jug's a jug shaped like a fish. Fill it with water. When you pour it into a glass, it goes doo 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 doo. It makes like a fish noise.
Like a jug.
Like a jug.
Like a jug.
No, it's a proper. It's a jug designed to glug.
I
this bit's loud. This bit's quiet. Let's see if the peaks line up.